Shalom to all. Today's office brachos of Samach Gimel. We are starting right at the top of the brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Mars Mirim Sar Basim Yaakov Moshe Hernish Amosh and Heaven Aliyah. And the Mishnah tells us, "Haimer, if a person says, 'Arei Leib Machvas,' I take upon myself to bring a Minchas Machvas. Loyav Marchashes, he's not to bring a Mincha in a Marchashes. And if he says Marchashes, I'm bringing a Marchashes. Loyav Machvas, he's not to bring in a Machvas. So obviously the question is, Mabein Machvas Marchashes. What's the difference between a Machvas and Marchashes? What are these two different Minchas? The answer is Marchashes Yeshla Kisui. A Marchashes Mincha, the pan that it's being made in, has a cover. Whereas machvas ain't lo kisui, a machvas doesn't have a cover. The Rabbi Yosef Glili, that's Rabbi Yosef Glili's understanding. Whereas Chanan ben Gamliel Omer, he says marcheshes amuka umaser reichshin. A marcheshes is a deep pan, and the way that it's made is reichshin, which really means to shake or creep around. The word remes in the pasuk when it's talking about creepy crawlies, the targum of that word is rachashin. As a mincha is fried in this deep pan of oil, so when you touch it, it kind of shakes, if you will. Whereas machvas tsafo umaser akashin. A machvas is a very shallow pan. It's off as a lashon of floating because everything in a way looks like it's floating because it's extremely shallow and it's baked very hard because the oil basically burns off, so it's not sitting in a lot of oil. And so when a minchas machmas is baked, it's very hard and crunchy. So Gemara begins by asking, "My time with Rabbi Yossi, what's Rabbi Yossi's reasoning? Why does he say that a marcheshes has a cover and a machlas doesn't?" Even if you want to say his reason is because marcheshes is the asir ruchushe lev, a minchas marcheshes is brought because of ruchushe lev. Ruchushe lev means like the stirrings or the movings of the heart. Like the pasuk says, "Rachash libi davar toiv." My heart is astir; it's moving with a good thing. And even though this is a positive pasuk, we're actually talking about something negative, namely when a person's having a bad thought, he has some sort of machshavas haveira, and that's in his heart, that's covered up, that's concealed. So to marcheshes has a cover, and machvas to asya machvuay hapeh. A machvas is different; it's come because of something that was expressed by the mouth. Kedamarinchi, it's like what people say, minabeach nevuche, that is letting out sounds. And so a person's going to bring a machvas for speaking improperly. And speaking is from the lips, and that's uncovered. So a minchas machvas is uncovered. If you're going to say that's the reason for Rabbi Yossi, well, im ipcha, why don't I say the exact opposite? That machvas da asya amachbuei halev, machvas comes for that which is hidden in the heart. As we know, the pasuk tells us, lama nich basil of royach, why have you hid and run away? Meaning, why'd you run away in secret? As I would tell us that a machvas actually should have a cover, and marcheshes da asya aruchushe, marcheshes comes because of ruchushe halev, improper speech. Like people say, that his lips were moving. And so according to this, Marcheshes should not have a cover. And so this can't be Rabbi Yossi's reason. The answer is, you're right, El Gmar Gmirila. He just has a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim all the way up. The Marcheshes has a cover, and Machvas doesn't. And it's not based off of these Psukim. Now we're going to the next Sheetah, and here's his source, Marcheshes Amuka. A Marcheshes is deep, meaning it's a deep pan. The Chesiv Kazapazik says, V'chol Nasa Ba Marcheshes. Anything that's made, it's done in a Marcheshes, which means that it's inside the pan, so it must be that it's deep. And machvas safa, machvas is shallow. The pasuk says ve'al machvas, on a machvas, which means that it's basically a very shallow pan and there's no inside of it. So that's why the lashon of al is used. Now, Tanur Banan, we have a brayso. Bishami says, "Ha'omer, if a person says harei alai marcheshes, I take upon myself marcheshes." He didn't say bimarcheshes, in marcheshes. He said marcheshes. See, munachat she'avel yo, this has to be left until Yonavi comes. And why is that misapkalhu? Because Bishami is misapik iel shum kli nekru. Is this called because of a kli? Meaning, is a minchas machvas or marcheshes called such because it's made in such a kli? And therefore, when a person says harei alai marcheshes, he's really saying that he's going to bring the kli itself. Oil shema sehen, or is mincha called that because that's how it's made? And therefore, when the person says harei alai marcheshes, he's going to bring a minchas marcheshes, not that he's going to bring the pan called a marcheshes. So that's why it's a suffix for Beis Shammai. However, Beis Hillel and Beis Hillel says kli har mikdash. There was a kli in the Beis Hamikdash umarcheshes shema. Its name was marcheshes. V'damik min kalbus amayik. It was like a deep kalbus. Kalbus is translated as tongs, and when the dough was placed inside of it, it's like beroisim apples, or like acorns of the Greek oak tree. And furthermore, the pasuk tells us clearly, anything that's made in a marcheshes or on a machvas, we see from here, says Beis Hillel, al shum hakelim nekru, that the mincha is called such because of the kli that it's made in, not because of the way that it's made. And therefore, when a person says harei alai marcheshes, not bimarcheshes, but marcheshes, that means he's going to actually bring the pan called marcheshes and not a michas marcheshes. Now let's just go back for a second and explain what Beis Hillel was saying over here regarding this kalbus amayik. So if you're using the Ozva Hadar Gemara, Rashi brings a handy illustration over here where even though it's not 3D, so it's a little bit hard to imagine, if you could think of it in 3D terms, the whole middle section is actually empty, it's airspace, and the whole outer section with these three walls, that's basically a rough drawing of tongs, that's how we had translated kalbus, And so it's basically this really interesting kli that's kind of shaped like a ches or a U, however you want to call it. And when the pieces of dough are placed inside, they're able to be baked as individual ball or individual loaves. And if you take a look at the bottom right-hand corner in the Agayas V'Tzuyunim, you'll see basically a black circle with a bunch of small white circles in it. It kind of looks like a pancake pan. I don't know if you've ever seen those before. It's this really handy pan that has circles made into it that you pour the pancake batter into that makes perfectly round pancakes. That's also some sort of drawing of perhaps what this kli looked like. Either which way, Beis Hillel is basically trying to describe that when you put the dough of the marcheshes inside of it, it made these separate little loaves, and that's how it was done. And now we're on to another Mishnah. We continue to discuss Menachos, and over here we discuss something we have mentioned previously, which is a Minchas Mafet Tanur, a mincha that's baked in an oven, and there's two different ways that it could be made. That's either chalos or rekikin. Chalos are usually translated as loaves, and these were baked with oil. Now rekikin are kind of like crackers or wafers. They were baked without oil. They were just smeared with oil after they were baked. So the Mishnah tells us, let's say a person says, I think about myself to bring mincha in an oven. So lo yavi mafet kupach, he's allowed to bring his mincha baked in a kupach. A kupach was kind of like an oven. It was something similar to it. And also v'lo mafet ra'afim, he's allowed to bring it if it was baked on ra'afim, which is tiles. Basically, they were earthenware tiles that were heated up. They were made boiling hot and you could bake on them. So if mincha is baked on that, it's not counted as a mincha. And also mafet yaris ra'avim, if it's baked in pots of Arabs, which is also another way they used to bake some sort of bread, that's also not valid because none of these are considered a tanur. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, the ratza mevi mafet kupach, if he wants, he could bring it baked in a kupach. That is considered an oven to this extent. Mission continues, let's say a person says, harei minchas mafet, I take upon myself to bring this minchas mafet. Lo yavi mechza chalas u'mechza rekikin, he can't bring half of them as chalas and half of them as rekikin. Whereas Rav Shimon Mater, Rav Shimon allows b'nei shu karbon echad, because all consider one carbon, and we're going to see his source for this in the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us, Tanurban, we have a braisa. The pasuk tells us, mafet tanur, baked in an oven. What do we learn from here? V'lo mafet kupach, v'lo mafet ra'afim, v'lo mafet yaris ra'avim, that it can't be baked in any of these things, because that's not considered a tanur. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, tanur shnei pa'amim, it says tanur twice in the pasuk. In one pasuk it says, v'chi sakriv karbon mincha mafet tanur. Another pasuk says, v'chom mincha sher te'afet batanur. And what does that tell us? L'hach shir mafet kupach, it's coming to include a mafet kupach, that's also considered a tanur. Now Rabbi Shimon says, tanur shnei pa'amim, what do we learn from this double lashon of tanur? Echad she'teaf yasim batanur. One is teaching us that it has to be baked in a tanur. Echad she'ekdeishin batanur. Another one is teaching us that it becomes kadosh in the tanur, that when it's baked in this oven, that's when it becomes officially with this higher level of kedusha of a mincha. Ask the Gemara, immediately Rav Shimon, high svara. Does Rav Shimon really hold it the svara of a tanur? We have a mishnah that says, Rav Shimon tells us, lo'ilam have a ragel lo'imar shtei alechem, lechem apanim k'sheres bazar, k'sheres beis pagi. We should always be ragel, accustomed to say that the shtei alechem, lechem apanim, they're kosher if they're baked in the azara, and they're also kosher if they're baked in beis pagi, which is like a part outside the azara. It was like an area that was annexed to the beis hamikdash, but the idea is that this beis pagi place is outside the azara. Now, if according to Rav Shimon, baking the mincha in the oven is being makdashit, well, that means that we're being makdash something outside the azara, and that means that they would be pasul. So how does this make sense? So Gemara answers, you're right, Amarava, Rav explains, Emo, we really mean to say, meaning what Rav Shimon's telling us is, Sheheik deshan l'shum tanur, is that he should be makdash them with intention that they're going to be baked in an oven, but not that actually baking them in the oven makes them kadosh. We continue, the Mishnah said, Harele minchas mafet lo yavi mechza v'chulu, that if he said, I'm going to bring a minchas mafet, he can't bring half chalas and half rekikin. So Tanur Banu Yiva Braisa, the pasuk tells us of chisakriv, when you bring, what do we learn from here? Kshetakriv lasus dvar rishos, this is referring to when a person is being makriv, he's doing something to rishos, he's just doing it on his own, not that he has to. Then when the pasuk says, karban mincha, Rabbi Yehuda, he explains that what's this teaching us? Minayin lo'im harelai minchas mafet, how do I know that if a person says, I take upon myself to bring a minchas mafet, shalo yavi mechza chalas v'mechza rekikin, that half aren't allowed to be chalas and the other half rekikin, tamlam, because the pasuk says, karban mincha, and that tells us, karban echon amarti l'chav lo shnayim v'shlesha karbonos, it has to be one carbon, it has to be the same type and not two or three types. So it has to be either chalos or rekikin. It can't be different styles. Now I'm really Rav Shimon told him, does it say carbon twice? No, v'haloi loy nemar ela carbon echad. It only uses the word carbon once over here, and nemar by chalos rekikin. It also talks about chalos and rekikin. So me'ata from here would say that rotz lahavi chalos maybe rekikin maybe mechza chalos mechza rekikin maybe, that if he wants to bring only chalos, that's fine, only rekikin, that's also fine, but if he wants to bring half chalos and half rekikin, that's also okay. And if he were to do that, so ubaylon, he mixes them together, meaning after he bakes half of them as chalos and half of them as rekikin, he crumbles them up, mixes them all together, v'kaimitz mishnehen, and then he takes a kaimitz from both of them, and v'im kametz v'al b'yadim echad al shnein, if he took the kmitza and only one type came up in his hand, yatza, that still counts for both of them. The bottom line is, Reb Shimon's learning that since it only says the word karbon once over here, and mentions both chalos and rekikin, that tells us that the minchas mafet tanur is allowed to be both chalos and and Rikikin together. It doesn't have to be one style. Nerbius Rabbi Yehuda Imer, he tells us that Minayin Lo'aymer Harei Minchas Mafeh. How do you know if a person takes upon himself to bring Minchas Mafeh? Shalo Yavi Mechz Chalos Mechz Rikikin, that he's not to bring half Chalos and half Rikikin. Tam Lo'aymer, because the Pasuk says, V'chol Minchas Yote'afe Batanur, V'chol Nasu Merchashes, V'al Machwas L'Kayin Hamakrevos Lo'y Tiev. Then the Pasuk says, V'chol Mincha Blul Bashemin, V'charev L'chol B'nei Aron Tiev. What do we learn from here? The Ma V'chol Ha'amr L'mata, just like the word V'chol that said later on, meaning it said regarding the last two Menachos, Shnei Minachalukin, that's two totally separate types, because the last two Menachos that are mentioned are a Mincha that's Blul Bashemin and a Chareva. So those are obviously two separate types of Menachos. The first one has oil, and the second was Chareva, it's dry, it doesn't have any oil. So Af V'chol Ha'amr L'mala, so to the word V'chol that's mentioned earlier, meaning when we're speaking about Minchas Mafeh Tanur, Shnei Minim Chalukin, that's talking about two separate types, and even though Minchas Mafeh Tanur is either Chalos or Rikikin, still they're treated as two totally separate types, and you're not allowed to bring half Chalos, half Rikikin, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's way of understanding it. So the Gemara just asks, Rabbi Yehuda, what about our first sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Shaper come Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon seems to be saying good. In other words, Rabbi Shimon's response to Rabbi Yehuda seems to be really solid. Rabbi Shimon had said that since the Pasuk only says the word carbon once, so that tells us that both Chalos and Rikikin are the same exact thing, and so you could bring half Chalos, half Rikikin if you want. How would Rabbi Yehuda respond to that? So I'm Lecha, he would tell you, Kimin Dechsev, Bashemen, Bashemen, since the Pasuk says Bashemen, Bashemen, it says the word Shemen twice. In other words, when it talks about Michas Mafetanur, it says, Soilis Chalos Matzois Bulois Bashemen, Urikike Matzois Meshuchen Bashemen. So when it talks about the Chalos and Rikikin, it uses the word Shemen by each of them. Kimin Dechsev, carbon, carbon dummy, it's as if it says the word carbon twice, so even though it doesn't actually have the word carbon twice, it's as if it has it twice, and that tells us that the chalos are separate from rikikim, and you can't mix them together when you're bringing minchas mafeh tanur. Now Rabbi Shimon, he'd respond to that by saying, if it didn't say the word shemen twice over here, havamina, I would actually think that dafka mechza chalos mechza rikikin. When a person says that he's going to bring in minchas mafeh tanur, he actually has to bring half chalos and half rikikin, because if we're going to be using the word shemen once to be applied to both the chalos and the rikikin, I would think I have to bring both chalos and rikikin. But just chalos alone or rikikin alone, I would think that one is not allowed to do that. That's what the chiddush is. The Torah is telling us by saying the word shemen twice that actually, if a person wants to bring just chalos or just rikikin, that's also fine. Now we just have one more clarification of this. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Avua. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda's shita. That's the same thing as his father. Both Rabbi Yosi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda himself do not allow bringing half chalos and half rikikin. They have two different sources, but they still agree to the principal matter that you have to bring either chalos or rikikin. So what's the difference between the two of them? The answer is ikvenayu di avad. The nafkamino is bidiyavid. If he ended up doing it, if he brought half chalos, half rikikin, what's the halacha? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's kasher bidiyavid. According to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, it's not. And it's because specifically in Rabbi Yosi's drasha, where he compares the later two menachas that were mentioned, namely mincha with oil and mincha without, to the earlier two menachas, in other words, the two different ways of bringing a minchas mafeh tanur. So just like by the later two menachas, one with oil and without, if one is done like the other, mincha mincha is supposed to be done with oil is brought without, or mincha is supposed to be brought without oil is brought with, that's totally possible, even bidiyaved. So it'd be the same thing regarding minchas mafeh tanur. If it was brought half for kikin, half chalos, it would be possible. Hajjal chal menachas, Masar finishing the fifth parak of Masechas Menachas. Just we zechah finish this parak together, we should zechah finish the entire Masechas Menachas together, and of course, all of Shas Bavli together. And without further ado, moving right on to the next parak, and over here we're going to be discussing another type of carbon mincha, which is known as the Minchas Omer. As we already mentioned this many times in the Masechta up until now, we know that the Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach. This is actually when we start counting Sfiras Omer from the bringing of the Omer. We also know, as we mentioned previously, that the bringing of the Omer allows one to eat Chadash, allows one to eat brand new grain. So we're going to have many specifics about the Omer. The first discussion is going to be regarding harvesting the barley. We know the barley carbon omer is harvested matzeh the first day of Pesach, meaning the night of the 16th of Nisan. That's the night of the first day of Chol HaMoed. It's then ground into flour and sifted into an isaroin of soiles, which is very fine flour. And the next morning, the minchas omer is brought. So Mishnah tells us Rabbi Shmuel says omer hayabah b'Shabbos mishalosh sayin, on Shabbos when the second day of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan, falls out on Shabbos. So the omer comes from three saw of barley, meaning they would harvest three saw of barley, and that was sifted down into one isarna flour. And b'chalos the weekday mechamesh, it was made out of five saw. B'chamer v'cham say echad Shabbos v'chachol shmishalosh hayaba. The whether Shabbos or weekday, it came from three saw of flour. Another machlokes from Chinis Kana Kahana, where he says b'Shabbos when the omer was being harvested on Shabbos, hay nikzer b'yachid, it was harvested by just one person u'b'magal echad with one sickle u'b'kupa achas with one basket. In other words, it was just one person doing everything. Whereas b'chayil when it was being harvested during the week, b'shloisha with three people, b'shalosh kupais three baskets or shalosh magolas and three sickles, meaning it was three people, each one had a sickle and a basket. Whereas b'chamer and b'cham say there was no difference. Echachas v'chachayil whether it was being harvested during the week or Shabbos, b'shloisha was done by three people, b'shalosh kupais three baskets or shalosh magolas with three sickles. So right, the Gemara tells us b'shlam rabbanon, this is all good according to rabbanon, because savri isarin mufcher b'shloisha asayin asi, they hold an isarin of fine choice flour could be made out of three saw of barley. You can sift three saw of barley down to one isarin of fine flour, and therefore v'loishna b'chol v'loishna b'shabbos, it doesn't make difference if it's being harvested during week or Shabbos. We just harvest three saw and sift down three saw. El Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Mike Saver, what does he hold? Ikasaver, if he holds isarin mufcher lo asi al mechamesh, then isarin of the choicest finest flour is only able to be made from five saw of barley. So afilu b'shabbos nami, so even on Shabbos as well, five saw should be harvested. And imishalosh asi, if we're able to make an isarin of fine flour from three, afilu b'chol nami, so even during the weekday, three saw should be fine and five saw shouldn't have to be harvested. So Amar Rava, he answers, because Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel holds isarin mufcher b'loy tircha asi mechamesh, then isarin of fine flour without too much tircha, challenge and difficulty, that comes from five saw because you have a lot more coarse flour to work with, and so it takes much less effort sifting it in order to come out with an isarin of fine flour. Whereas b'tircha asi mishalosh, if you work hard, difficulty, you sift it over and over again, you could still get an isarin of fine flour from three saw, and therefore b'chol ma'asin mechamesh on a weekday when there's no issue sifting, so we bring five saw flour. Dachi shvicha milsa, could actually, it's better that way. It comes out with a little bit better flour when it's from five saw. Whereas b'Shabbos, mutav shiyarbe b'molacha achas b'harkada v'al yarbe molachas harbe, on Shabbos, it's better to increase one molacha, harkada, which is sifting, as opposed to being marbe many other molachas. Because we're going to be harvesting five saw of barley on Shabbos, so think about how many more molachas have to be done. There's going to be harvesting and winnowing and selecting and grinding and then sifting, because that has to be done to the extra two saw, as opposed to if you just harvest three saw of barley, so then the only malacha we're going to have to increase in is sifting. We're going to have to sift it a little bit more in order to get that fine flour, but it's better to do that on Shabbos as opposed to, again, being over more malachas in order to get just slightly finer flour. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.